Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Welcome to the Dog Pod, your home for fans of the University of Washington Huskies tackle football team. Week three, and this is a big one. We welcome Sparty. Michigan State is in town. We need to talk about a 52-6 thumping of Portland State. And no lack of late-night shenanigans in the Pac-12. Some big wins, some big losses. We got Law Dog here. You ready to go?
God save the Queen, BT.
God save the Queen as well. Lots of moments in history this week. Hey, so 52-6, the Dogs all over the Portland State Vikings. Portland, not a state. Team does not play in the city of Portland. They actually looked good the week before at San Jose State. But this one was played in the literal purple haze of Lakemont. And it was all Huskies. What'd you see?
Yeah, I mean, the Huskies pretty much had their way with Portland State. Rather than going through the recap, you know, just mention the Huskies scored on their first a touchdown on their first four possessions. Again, those long drives. It kind of ended with that, or the second quarter began, I should say. That run ended going up 21-0 with that long 84-yard touchdown to Jalen McMillan. So the passing game was definitely clicking in this one. Then I think as the game kind of wore on, they just ended up kind of going into the second and third string. And the Huskies just really put them away. And, you know, we've talked about it over the years. You know, the good teams do this to bad teams. I mean, they just eviscerated Portland State, both on the ground and through the air. Penix averaging over 12 yards per attempt on the pass. And then you had Taulapapa averaging 7.8 yards a carry. Richard Newton and Will Nixon and Cam Davis all getting over 5, 6, 7 yards per carry. So, I mean, they were basically just gashing the Vikings up and down in this one.
Wow. And talking about the environment there, smoky, hazy, in the stadium. I heard mixed reviews.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we've talked about the crowds, you know, in decline, I'd say, over the last decade or so. And, you know, there was no exception here. It's probably one of the worst crowds at Husky Stadium I can ever remember. But just the air, definitely with that hazy vibe, you know, you look out at the lake and you just kind of see a gray, smoky, you know, haze. It wasn't particularly... It wasn't particularly pleasant to be out in it for 4 hours, BT, but nevertheless, I braved the conditions so that I could report to the faithful listeners.
It's you're a true fan. Listen, real quick report. This weekend, I took my college fandom elsewhere into the city of Austin, was there for the Texas-Alabama game, which was one heck of a game for anyone that was watching on TV or in person. And you know, it was nice to see an Alabama team that looked completely out of sorts. I think a lot of people in the crowd enjoyed that. So it went down to the wire. Just a few take-homes about, just like we did with Michigan last year, come home and think, hey, what kind of things should we tool around a little? A couple things, multiple beverage vendors all over at all the entrances, very easy to get a beverage. And, you know, setting up shop kind of in the, you know, in the entryways, in the hallways, that was quite easy. The chants were pretty cool. And they have their, you know, fight, Texas fight chants that they do. Everybody does it. I think we could learn a little bit from that as well. You know, so I think that was good. They have a reputation for the fans not staying, that people leave in early. This I didn't see, but it also came down to the last play. But very cool to see another environment. Really, really interesting. Really interesting game. Glad I saw it, but excited about this week where I think we're going to have a very big showing for Michigan State. I know we're not sold out yet, but it's a 4:30 game. And I think there's going to be a ton of fans. And one thing I did notice is on the resale tickets are actually holding up to standard fare, which is a good sign. So there should be a pretty good crowd there. They're coming to town. It's number 11, Michigan State. Let me talk to you a little bit about them. Here's what we know. These guys finished 11-2 last year, finishing the year number 9 in a year that I think really cemented in Mel Tucker as a great hire for them. Peyton Thorne, the quarterback, who returning this year, set a record with 27 touchdown passes. So Michigan State record. The offense's smash mouthers, Mel Tucker called it. I thought it was kind of funny, quote, tough, hard-nosed, physical meat and potatoes, not a lot of French pastries, all-weather football. That's what he calls it. Now, look, their passing and running yards are pretty much equal up to this point, but that could be a factor of who they're playing. Really, it's been transfers on the running game. Jalen Berger from Wisconsin and Jarek Broussard, do you remember him from Colorado? these are the backup. These guys are, both have the potential to be 1,000-yard rushers. They've got Jaden Reed, a transfer, 1,000-yard returning, excellent, I think, playmakers all around. Something with Peyton Thornton, I'll say, he hasn't really clicked yet, the more I read about this team. Missing lots of routine routes, throwed a pair of picks. He has 4 touchdowns and 3 interceptions on the year. He threw a pair of them against Akron. On D, last year, this is kind of interesting, sort of the polar opposite of us. Last year, Sparty was last in the country in passing yards allowed and number 10 in the Big Ten in yards allowed per pass attempt. Now, look, improved, but the pass is still open. Akron and Western Michigan, they threw for 200 yards each. Opposite of 2021 Husky football, where the passing lanes were closed and the running lanes were wide open. But the defense, they lead the FBS in sacks right now, 12. And they're tied for the most fumbles created, 7. So look, maybe against it's the opponents, but look, they've got ball hawks, right? Injuries to talk about. They had a lot in the last week. Defensive tackle Jacob Slade, Jaden Reed, the wide receiver, safety Angelo Gross, and even quarterback Peyton Thorne all took at least a few plays off, if not a full series of the rest of the game off last week against Akron. They've had really slow starts, and I think the Huskies have to jump on that. Akron outgained Sparty in the first quarter, and they were moving the ball until they knocked out Sparty knocked out starting quarterback DJ Irons, and that was it. Turnovers really were what killed Akron. So it's really interesting. I mean, ultimately, it was kind of crazy. Michigan State was up 38-0 before scoring off a drive that didn't start off a turnover. Everything started off those turnovers. And look, they beat Western Michigan 35-13, but they were only up one possession going into the fourth quarter. So look, this is a team that I think had a much better than expected 2021 campaign. Brings back a lot of that firepower. Ball hawks, turnover creators on defense, but they're susceptible to the pass. And they haven't quite clicked the way they would want to, at least in the passing game. What do you think? What do you think we need from our Huskies to pull off this, which ultimately right now isn't an upset? We're favored by 2, and I saw the line move to 3.
Yeah, that shocked me, right? I mean, I expected Michigan State to maybe be a pick 'em, but maybe be a slight favorite in this game just based on the betting public and the kind of anti Pac-12 sentiment out there. But I mean, to see the Huskies open as favorites and the lines even been moving more towards them, I was a little bit surprised by that. You know, I think it's going to take just a very well executed passing attack, right, to put up the points that we're going to need to and getting out to that early lead, just like you talked about, those slow starts from the Spartans. So I would expect they're going to come out, Huskies will come out with their same game plan, right? Penix is going to get the ball in the air. They're going to spread it around, and they're going to try to, build a lead early on against Michigan State and then play hang on with that defense. So I am expecting a great game in Husky Stadium. And honestly, this is an opportunity that we have not been able to cash in recent years. You look at Oregon last year beating Ohio State. There's other kind of those marquee wins around the conference. We have not had one of these in a long time. And I'm not saying that this would be on par with this is a win that I think this program needs to kind of demonstrate that it's back after a tough run over the last couple of years.
It's a massive game. Look, this would be an absolute massive win for us, and I think put us on a trajectory that's significantly further ahead than where people thought we'd be at this point. We need Husky Nation to be in there loud, really loud on third down. It's a purple out, waving purple towels. We really need the crowd in this one.
I'm hearing Michigan State returned some tickets, BT. So if you are, looking at this late hour, you may be able to find some from the UW ticket office, returned from the Michigan State faithful, which are not really known to be traveling too well, but they expect, I think we should expect some contingency.
I'm looking forward to it. This thing could be huge, setting up this home and home where we travel out to East Lansing next year. I'm excited about it. What do you think? If you got to make a prediction, how are you feeling about this?
You know, I look at what Washington's done the last 2 weeks, and they have put away, you know, lesser opponents. And I you look at last year, how that looked against Montana, but also against teams like Colorado and Oregon State and Cal. And, you know, the Huskies just couldn't, you know, put away lesser opponents in these last couple of years. I think that's a good sign for this week. I think this offense is for real. And I think the Huskies are going to put up points in this game. Michigan State running game, we have, you know, the Husky front has not been tested yet in that way against a strong running team. And obviously Kenneth Walker has moved on. He was their, you know, Heisman mm-hmm. Trophy kind of dark horse last year. But I expect that they're still going to have a power running game and that's how they're going to attack us. And you heard Savelle Smalls, I think, talking to the media this week, he was saying they're going to try to run it down our throats. It's our job to stop them. So I think that's exactly what it's going to come down to, especially if the Huskies can put up some points early in the air. Penix had success against Michigan State in his prior meetings with them while with Indiana. And if they could get a lead and try to get Michigan State, you know, to play from behind in this game, I like the Huskies actually to hang on. Give it to me, BT. I'm taking the Dogs. I mean, when are we? Let's win one of these babies.
Oh, we need to. This one would just be sweet. And I think you're right. Strength on strength, our passing game, or really strength on weakness, our passing game against their weak pass defense, or what has been historically. And even these teams that they've played have been able to pass the ball down the field. And then for us on that, I think when our front line hits their front line, it's that first collision from the line of scrimmage where I think our boys are going to go, oh, wow, these guys feel different. This is not, you know, this is not Kent State. This is not Portland State. You could say the same thing on the Michigan State side.
Yeah, no, I mean, Kent State was, you know, it was picked to win their division in the MAC, right? So, I mean, it's not going to be a terrible team there. We played in week one. Everything I saw, though, Portland State is picked to finish 8th, 9th, 10th in the Big Sky. That was not a good team that we played on Saturday. It's not really the preparation that you need for a game like this. So I think it's important to get out there early and just, you know, try to hold your own, push them around, set the tone, and don't let the Big Ten come into your house and shove you around, BT.
Love it. Let's take it, man. I feel good about it. I think it's going to be great. We'll be there. We're going to be loud, ready for kickoff, super loud on third down, and we implore Husky Nation to do the same. Crazy Pac-12 action this week. This was nuts. Should we talk about it? This was fun. I watched a ton of games from Texas back in our house after our game was over.
You got the Pac-12 network in Austin, Texas.
You know what's wild now?
Well, you did that. That's useful information.
The only way to, you know, this is the only way you're going to get this is you've got a bunch of Husky fans at a game in Texas with a rental house who are all streaming off of their Sling subscriptions and everything else that they have to use to get the Pac-12 anyway. But yeah, you're not getting that stuff in a bar there. So last week, now it was the number four, Utah. All over Southern Utah, just crushed the spread 73-7. My goodness, bounce back from the Florida game.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, and we're going to get to Oregon too. You expect that, right? I mean, you know, you got kind of embarrassed in week one, gives the coaches plenty of fodder, and then poor Southern Utah kind of walks into a buzzsaw there. And, you know, I don't think anybody expected anything less.
Yeah, even with that, though, showing that Utah, who has the hallmark of defense, can put up points even against a lesser opponent like Southern Utah, pretty incredible. We keep it going. CU at Air Force. This was a tough look for the Pack on CBS. CU may go 0-12 and may not cover a single game. They didn't cover this one. They lost 41-10 to Air Force.
Yeah, no, I said if they didn't win this week, I don't expect them to win a game this year. And I mean, it's kind of sad to say that, and our poor friends at the Free Ballin' podcast are in for a long one, but this Colorado team's unwatchable. So I mean, to me, you know, lay the points every time and just watch Colorado coast to a very pathetic finish.
And this is a Carl Durrell hire that I think had people scratching their heads as much as they did with our John Donovan hire, and it's playing out as such. Now, on the other side of the coin, Wazoo doing the Pac-12 right in Madison. You could argue this is one of the biggest wins in Wazoo non-conference history. 17-14 over then number 19 ranked Wisconsin in Madison. We watched this at Schultz Beer Garden in Austin with a bunch of Wisconsin fans who were just doing surrender Cobra left and right. And it was, I hate to say it, was fun to see.
Yeah, I mean, I was ready to kind of write the Cougs off after last week. You know, maybe they were looking ahead to this game. Obviously, like you said, probably one of the biggest wins that they have had in their program, honestly. I mean, this was huge to go on the road against a ranked Big Ten opponent, especially at a time where this, you know, where we're in this conference versus conference struggle and the Pac-12 is just trying to claw to stay relevant. And here you just go into Madison and just beat them up in Camp Randall. And by beat them up, I mean win by three.
Yeah, it was cool to watch and look. You know, we were throwing out go Cougs there. It was fun to see. A Cal 13-point favorite over UNLV. They would win, but it was not pretty. 20-14 over the Runnin' Rebels. To finish the game, UNLV was driving for the win with a minute and a half left and threw a pick. But wow, tough look for Cal.
Yeah, I mean, the important thing at this point in the season, you know, and, you know, as we make it through these games, you know, you realize actually the Pac-12 fared pretty well in week two. Mm-hmm. It's really just, you know, yes, the spread matters in some deep, dark corners of a Vegas casino, BT, but they got the win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's important to just put the Mountain West in their place. I just want to make this point. I made this point on Twitter this week, you know, going into 2020, so many COVID lockdowns and shutdowns affecting the Pac-12, particularly, yep, you know, Cal, Stanford wasn't practicing even in the state of California at the end of the season. You know, the Pac-12 was really affected by COVID a lot worse than some other conferences were, just because, I mean, we only played four games that season, the Huskies did, right? That really showed in 2021. You just didn't have the reps. You didn't have the experience. You hadn't played those games, didn't have the practice under your belt. And the Mountain West came out and kind of embarrassed you at times last year. And I think it's really important, and it's a good sign that the Pac-12 has kind of taken that mantle back and just kind of pummeling them one by one. Doesn't matter. You know, style points don't matter. Let's just win these games, get through the non-conference, and you know, lift up the conference as a whole. Cal did their part. Barely, but we'll take it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And not having embarrassing losses, you know, like Texas A&M over the weekend, that just give the talking heads, you know, fodder for the year. You're right. But if I'm a Cal fan, I look at this and I'm a little concerned, you know, myself the rest of the year.
Well, hey, I don't think they're going to the Rose Bowl, BT.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah. Outside of being as an attendance, 2 p.m. It was Alabama State at UCLA. UCLA would win. They'd cover 45-7, but some injury news, DTR out of the game. And our old friend Ethan Garbers got in there and finished at quarterback and looked pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to learn much about this UCLA team, you know, until we see them at the Rose Bowl, because their first conference game week after this week is going to be against Colorado. So it's tough to know what they really are, but so far so good. They're just checking their boxes again, getting it done, winning these games, you know. And the UCLA fans I know and follow on Twitter, they seem not too enthused about this start, but you look at the scoreboard and they're definitely, you know, winning these games handily.
Yeah. And Ethan Garbers could end up being a pretty good backup for DTR if he's out for an extended period of time. We'll see. 4:30, that was a big one for the Pack, and it didn't look good. I watched a fair amount of this. ASU at now at number 8, Okie State. Wow. Cowpokes, 34-17. The Cowpokes won. I don't think it was that close from what I watched this game. Oklahoma State seem to have this thing in control.
Yeah, and you know, we've been talking about, when's the bottom going to fall out of ASU? You know, we're going to find out this year. I don't think anyone expected them to win this game. I mean, Oklahoma State was playing on the last game of the season last year for the Big 12 title. So,
that's right.
So you know, this is a good Oklahoma State team. It's a good program. I don't think ASU is in that same category right now. So, you know, not a totally unexpected result. We talked about it last week. It was an opportunity, but an opportunity denied in the end.
Yeah. Pac-12 play opened up. Number 10, USC at Stanford. Trojans, the 9-point favorite. They'd win and they'd cover 41-28 on the road in Palo Alto.
Yeah, I mean, they're putting up a ton of points. 35 of those 41 came in the first half, right? And Caleb Williams, again, 20 out of 27. 341 yards, four touchdowns. I mean, you know, that's not Rice anymore. You know, mm-hmm. they're playing an actual football team. So I think it's safe to say they're going to be real dangerous.
Yeah. The future looks bright for them. 5:30, you already alluded to it. It was Eastern Washington, then unranked Oregon on Pac-12 Network. They took out their week one frustration on the Eagles 70-14 and came in this week ranked number 25.
Yeah, and I don't know what we're going to – we'll learn more about the Ducks this week against BYU. Eastern, not a team that's really, you know, picked to do dominate the Big Sky the way they have in years past. So, you know, Oregon took care of business, did what they – came home to do and gave their fans a little bit of a show and hopefully washed out some of the bad taste of their mouth from that Georgia game.
7:30 was Oregon State at Fresno. Beavs favored by one. They'd win and they'd cover 35-32. This was a barn burner late into the evening.
I mean, the Beavs are looking good. This might have been the win of the week for the conference, honestly, and it just sounds kind of weird to say that, but I mean, Fresno, you know, picked to be at the top of the Mountain West. Beavers kind of picked in the middle of the pack. And, you know, Jake Haener, say what you want, but I mean, he's maybe the best quarterback on the West Coast.
Yep.
and he put up 360 yards in this game. But the Fresno just, you know, couldn't get it done. And you got to hand it to the Beavs. Jonathan Smith going for the touchdown to win it at the end rather than going for overtime. I mean, you got to admire the Stones.
Yeah, our old OC out there doing things. The late game, Mississippi State, Mike Leach team, he had Zona looking like last year's Zona. 39-17, chalk up a win for the SEC in Tucson.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think maybe a little bit in front of the horse for Arizona. I know that, you know, they've made some big strides this year, but, you know, in the end, Mike Leach knows what he's doing. He's, you know, he's had that air raid effective everywhere he's gone, and you knew Mississippi State was going to come put up some points here. So, you know, it's an opportunity that missed out on, and hopefully they can get them when they get down to, where do they play? Oxnard or something like that?
Oxford.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, it'd be a decent road game for the Zona faithful to get to. So week three, we get started. No Thursday, Friday games. Pac-12 starts super early, 11 a.m. on Pac-12 Network. It is Southern Alabama, 2-0 against 2-0 UCLA. UCLA favored by 16, bright and early, 11 a.m.
Surprised to see this line so low. I mean, really, you know, UCLA's put away two opponents. I know the Sun Belt had a good week last week, but I mean, it's not like South Alabama. You know, they beat Central Michigan and Nichols. You know, right. Central Michigan, they won by two touchdowns. So I mean, give me the Bruins on this line. Maybe there's probably something that I don't know. And I guess the unavailability of DTR is probably, or the uncertainty is factoring into the line, but I'll take the Bruins on that one.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you on that one. The next one, 11:30 on NBC. Who had this? 2-0 Cal at 0-2 Notre Dame? Who had that when you saw this thing? Irish favored by 10.5.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is probably a get-right game for the Irish at home. But, I mean, you know, Notre Dame taking a gut punch, losing their coach in the offseason, and they hire a coordinator from within. Sound familiar, anybody?
Sound familiar. I was just thinking that same thing.
Well, I mean, you know, I thought it exactly at the time. Like, you know, I was saying it all last year and the year before. Like, this Husky program should have put out a national search for its coach. To me, it's kind of shocking that they lose Brian Kelly, you know, one of the better coaches they've had in recent memory, if not the best. And they just, you know, hire from within, didn't go out and do a national search. I think, you know, I think they're probably second guessing that after what, losing to Marshall last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Next one, if there is anything that can get me to cheer for the Ducks, it's this. 12:30 on Fox, number 12 in the nation after taking out Baylor, 2-0 BYU at number 25 Oregon. Oregon still favored by 3.5.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Ducks a lot on this line, especially at home. I honestly don't know what they're thinking. I get BYU, I think, is a team that benefits from a lot of hype. They benefited from it when they won the national title in 1984. They're kind of always a little bit, I think, overrated for what they are. I know Sitake has got them going in a better direction. They're going to the Big 12, or recruiting's picked up and whatnot, but I'm not taking the Cougs on this one. Give me the Ducks.
Yeah, and look, nice win for them over Baylor, but Provo in evening is a tough place to come in and play. And they showed that in a gritty, ugly, sloppy win. I don't know about this one. This one, I thought it would come in as a pick'em. I probably like it as a pick'em. I hate to say it. Ducks for the Pac-12, and let's shut these guys up. 12:30 on ESPN2. It's 0-2. Colorado traveling to 2-0. Minnesota. Have you seen the line? You want to guess this line? ESPN2.
I'm actually looking at it, so it's probably not too fair to say 28 points.
Yeah, 27.5, 28 points. Wow, that is a big line.
I mean, you just can't get me to take the Buffs. I don't care how many points it is. I mean, I'm not saying I'm going for the Gophers, but I'm just not going to touch Colorado. They're going on the road in a game like this. Minnesota has not been, you know, the Minnesota that we grew up with. They've been a little bit plucky in recent years. So, I mean, if I had to make a choice, I guess I'll take the Golden Gophers, but probably not actually touching a line like this.
And here's one that I thought should be a little bigger. 2 p.m. on Pac-12 Network. It's 0-2 Colorado State. The old Rams at 2-0. Wazoo Cougs by 16.5.
Yeah, that is a little bit low. And, you know, Cade Millen, the son of Husky Onk, you know, completing 72% of his passes down there. And he's, you know, playing all right, but Colorado State just doesn't have much of a defense. Yeah, I'm taking the Cougs at home on this one.
Yeah, tough one. I mean, with Colorado State, they got absolutely mopped up by Michigan, and then Middle Tennessee State lost, came in and beat him at home. So this is, you know, Colorado State is struggling a bit. But yeah, I saw him. It's crazy to see Millen on the back of that jersey and wish this kid the best. 7 p.m. on ESPN2, San Diego State at now number 14, Utah, both 1-1. Again, San Diego State had their way with the pack last year, and there's so much context in this as they seem to be, if you're going to expand, that's the next team we would go after on ESPN2. Utah favored by 21.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a lot of points, but honestly, Utah's offense is a lot improved. I think San Diego State, you know, probably is better than what this line is showing. So, I mean, if you had to make me choose, I'd probably give you the Aztecs, but I don't really want to go near this one.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that, but I'd like to see Utah get that win and keep it going against San Diego State. Next one, 7:30 on Fox, it's Fresno State at number 7, USC. In the Coliseum, Trojans favored, but I was a little bit surprised, and it's just by 12.
Yeah, I know Jake Haener put up a ton of points and won a game in the Rose Bowl last year, so probably does not have a lot of fear walking into the LA Coliseum to do the same thing. Not saying that they're going to win because they don't have the horses to run with this USC offense, but I could see Fresno State putting up 30, 40 points in this game.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be an interesting one to watch, and a lot of eyeballs on that on Fox. Next one, FS1, 2-0, North Dakota State against Arizona. I don't know if you can even find a line on this. 8 p.m. kickoff. Boy, this isn't the time that you want to play North Dakota State if you're Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, these are the kind of games I think you really – I mean, North Dakota State's one of the more successful FCS programs out there. And
absolutely,
you know, and you're not going to get a lot of credit if you win. You're probably paying them quite a bit to come to your house. And you got them at home in a night game. That's about as well as you can ask for. So, you know, I think Arizona will probably pull this one out. But, man, that one could be ugly.
Yeah, I'd go the other side of it. I hate to say it, but don't schedule North Dakota State. Don't schedule Appalachian State because they will come in and embarrass you and collect a check on the way home. Late, the very last one, 8 p.m. on Pac-12 Network. There'll be about 15 people watching this. It's 1-1 Eastern Michigan at 1-1 ASU. Sun Devils favored by 20.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to go anywhere close to ASU this year. You know, I think they're probably licking their wounds a little bit. They're probably the better team, again, at home in a night game. I mean, Eastern Michigan, that's from, you know, that's the Eastern time zone. They're playing at 11 p.m. their time to play this game. So I'm liking the Sun Devils, but I mean, geez, laying 21 points with for Herm Edwards, not touching it.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to be a tough one, and a decent bounce back opportunity for them. But this is an Eastern Michigan team who absolutely got blown apart by Louisiana last week. I think it's going to be interesting to see. Very last Pac-12 note, we talked a little bit about it, but there's lots of speculation right now about digital streaming and Amazon getting into the mix with TV rights. How do you think this changes things and changes the landscape for the Pac-12?
Yeah, well, that's a really interesting idea. It's an interesting, you know, thing that's happening. You see it across all sports, right? Major League Baseball is on Apple TV. Amazon is streaming concurrently NFL games. You can still get those NFL games on, you know, your local stations and NFL Network, but concurrent streaming on Amazon Prime for Thursday Night Football. So these streaming services are dabbling with this, right? The Pac-12 has a couple of important considerations here. One, you're losing USC and USC going into this next TV deal. So you, instead of having six games a week to offer these networks, you've got five, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's where the expansion comes into play. It's not necessarily like, oh, San Diego State is, and Boise State or Fresno State or whatever are going to be, you know, the next Utah and, you know, hold their own in the conference. It's, we actually just need the games to sell to ESPN and these other. But what they could end up doing is coming to a deal with Amazon as and as was reported by John Wilmer today, we should say. He came out with an article later in the day saying that Amazon was going to be bidding. It's important in a couple ways. One, it gives the conference another bidder for these rights, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than ESPN saying, okay, you don't have anyone else bidding on the rights, so we're just going to pay you what we're going to pay you and stick everything on ESPN Plus. Well, that doesn't work well for the conference necessarily that's invested in this Pac-12 network and that has, you know, already has problems getting exposure nationally, right? Amazon Prime is in 100 million homes. And so that's a, you know, a good place to have your games viewed by a lot of people. It is, on the flip side, more difficult for the olds, as we'll call them, BT. That's old, those people older than us. who don't necessarily have a Roku streaming stick in their house and are like, oh, how am I going to watch this game, you know? So that's one thing the Big Ten really tried to avoid in their media rights negotiations, and you see how that played out, right? They got NBC, CBS, Fox. All, you know, all you need is a set of bunny ears and a remote. You can watch those games in Big Ten country. I think the Pac-12, though, needs to be focused on, you know, what's the future going to look like? And if I asked you, okay, have you watched a game and a live sports broadcast on Amazon? You probably watched more in the last year or two than you watched 5 years ago, if I had to guess, right? And is this future going to look 5 years from now, right?
Yeah.
And if Amazon's going to be a serious player in live sports, whether it's NFL or, you know, MLB on Apple TV is kind of that's thought to be kind of their dabbling in this. Maybe the Apple TV would get involved. But in any case, you know, 5 years from now, I think the future is going to look a lot more digital. That was Klyavkov's background. He worked in Hulu and doing streaming digital broadcasting, things like that. So I think that's where he's going. And it doesn't kill the Pac-12 to say, okay, ESPN, you have your first pick of the games, but Amazon gets second pick, and then the rest of the games will go on ESPN Plus or whatever. I don't think it hurts them to have a second partner here in this, so we're not kind of so beholden to ESPN and just sticking us on whatever, you know, streaming service that they're offering.
Yeah, having another set of bidders in there, I think, is helpful. I feel like Larry Scott went kind of too far the other direction, and that was where all he cared about was, you know, thinking 10, 15 years down the road and getting cute with different types of streaming services that wouldn't really play to fruition. You know, but having them on there, I think at least as another option would be quite strong. It's going to be interesting.
Just one more point on this. You know, Wilner's reported a lot about this, and you've seen stuff out there where the night games are going to be more prevalent, right? That's going to be a regular thing.
That's right.
You know, if Amazon's in the mix, we're going to see more night games, right? And it's possible, you know, you have night games on Friday and Saturday nights every week. It's all going to ESPN. Maybe ESPN2 has a third one in there. Maybe Amazon has a fourth one. So, you know, that's a lot of games. But at the same time, it's a lot of night games. But at the same time, that's when you know, the Pac-12 has an advantage over its rivals. We can play those games and be uncontested basically for viewers. And, you know, Amazon, if we could have some kind of exclusive broadcasting with Amazon where it's like they're not promoting other networks, they're promoting the Pac-12 or other conferences, then I think that that could be a good forward-looking tool, if as long as you're still able to broadcast most of your stuff where most people can see it, which is ESPN.
Which is ESPN, yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. If it's a kind of yes plus, like and plus and thing, I think it could really help the pack. Really wild week this week. I think there isn't a Husky fan out there who isn't pleased right now with the results over the last 2 weeks. Having said that, this week against Michigan State, Sparty,
you got to make them matter. You got to make them matter this week.
This is it. This one is everything. We're going to be back next week talking about it, hopefully with big Husky smiles on our faces after a win. Husky Nation, let's get out there to the stadium, be there for kickoff, get loud on third down, and go Dogs, eh?
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.